Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. Happy month of July. June is over. July 1st, 2026. Hope you're all doing well. Sorry for the delay at the top of the show. Yankees conclude a series against Detroit today, looking to avoid another sweep. They've lost six straight, and they find themselves 2.5 games back of the Rays for first place in the American League East. We got a bunch to break down, and obviously you got to hope that starts today with this ship being taken care of and the Yankees to stop losing, because as much as I stand by everything that we've been talking about a lot on here, which is the ultimate true talent team will be one that doesn't resemble this one really at all, there are a lot of issues going on right now, and those issues are leading to us possibly, whether it be forfeiting the one seed in the American League or maybe even forfeiting the American League East. We've talked a lot about the Rays and how I don't think they're all that much to worry about. Well, at some point, I mean, here we are in July. We got a four-game set start up against them next week at the Trop. This really does have to turn around right now. We got a lot of post-game sound to get into. A rare form of transparency from Aaron Boone last night, where he actually admits to being concerned about something. We'll play that. There's also a question I thought was quite silly and gets us to a larger picture, a larger reminder about how the Yankees handle and operate themselves in this regime, which, make no mistake, is very fake, is very fluffy, is very fraudulent in terms of their public persona to the media. And it is frustrating. Trust me, I am with you guys on that. But we also have to keep in mind that they are beyond fake to us. They don't tell us anything. And that starts with the way Boone talks to us. That starts also with Aaron Judge, who is one of my favorite players of all time. It goes, A-Rod was my guy. He's why I'm doing all this. He's why I got into the game to begin with. I know that may have some people from the older era be like, what? Yes, A-Rod was my guy. Judge has always been a close number two. My one issue with Judge has always kind of been, though, he'll talk to us in a different voice. He'll talk to us in a way of speak that is not him. The Yankees are very, whether you want to say corporate or hidden, guarded, but even to the level of absurdity at times. And trust me, I hear you out when you say that shit bothers you in the Aaron Boone postgames. But I also want to remind everybody that you can't take much from what is said in the postgame pressers, which is why one of the questions that we're about to play drives me crazy, because some people just don't seem to get it, which is that you can't take much of what they say at all in the postgame in terms of panic, in terms of in-clubhouse mindset. We don't know anything. Now, one might say we do because the play in the field isn't good. Well, with that logic, that means what? It's a perfect clubhouse, perfect mindset when we're winning, when we are hitting? No. All that we can judge is based off of the results in the field. And that's why right now, it's pretty easy to say, things are going shitty. Oh, sorry, I'm not going to curse anymore on this morning show. I apologize. I want to be professional. But things are going crappy right now. And it could lead to a very different outcome this season in terms of seeding, in terms of the American League East, in terms of just where we're at come an October series. They really do got to turn this around. And this is the worst iteration of this team that we will have. And we got one more day to get through this version of it without Grisham, without McMahon. We've talked about it at length, so we're not going to, you know, harp on the fact of, yeah, the defense should improve big time come the return of Grisham and McMahon. Not even should, it will. Make no mistake. And offensively, very least with Grisham coming back, remember how great he was from May 1st on until his IL stint. We'll see if we can get back to that quickly, because we could kind of use it. Offensively, that remains to be seen, because there's been a lot of also guys that are healthy, guys that will be on the team in the lineup come October that just flat out aren't hitting. Now, Ben Rice went deep yesterday. We'll hear from him and his thoughts. His post game kind of bothered me a little bit, but not because it's anything new. This is just how the Yankees talk to us, and it just leads to more drama and controversy surrounding this team, which selfishly bothers me, because then I don't want to say like I got to deal with it, whatever, but it's more so stuff that drives the fan base crazy, and I actually do get it to a degree. Anyways, Rice goes deep yesterday. We know he's been really struggling the last couple weeks. Maybe that'll help him break out. You'd like to think so. Bellinger got a day off yesterday, which was the way to go. I think that was a very smart idea to do. Given the day off, reset, go back today, and then the Yankees also have an off day tomorrow on Thursday. But a lot of these guys, whether it be Rice and Bellinger, which those two long-term, I don't worry about at all, especially once the return of Aaron Judge does indeed happen. But, you know, whether you want to talk about Austin Wells and the expectations that we had for him this year, which some may think I was banking on a year three breakout. I wasn't banking on it, but I had high hopes that he would be much better in year three. But heck, in hindsight, what difference would it make if he was even close to the guy he was the last couple years, which was disappointing. But even Austin Wells, like the last 2 years, he had weeks, he had stretches where he was pretty damn solid. We've gotten none of that. Jazz Chisholm Jr., not available last night, but hopefully back in there today. Let's just be honest, not pinning it all on him, but like Jazz has been terrible this season overall now. I mean, his OPS is in the low 700s. So not only is it guys are hurt, and that is very much the case. We got to be completely fair and honest here, which is the Yankees are missing guys that will play a big role come October. And we'll get to those guys back, at least big role defensively, McMahon and Grisham. And Grisham offensively, McMahon will have a clutch homer every now and then, and he's been hitting prior to going to the IL with the illness. He had a good like 2 weeks leading up to that. That will help out, but that's one thing. We got to make sure we're fair here with they're missing guys, but also what is going on right now, make no mistake, is unacceptable. And it leads to a point where a game like yesterday where Cam Schuller gets rocked. Had we, I know this is an insane thing to say, but like I think you'll know what I'm talking about. Had we not been going through this little mini June swoon, now duration-wise, it is a mini June swoon, but the torture of it feels greater than any year previous. It's only been a week. It was a week ago today we beat Scooble, and that was one of my favorite wins of the year. I was coming off a high after that. It's only been a week, but it's been torturous. We're on the verge of another sweep. We know the deal. Got swept by Boston, all that. Had all the circumstances surrounding this last week not been the case, a night like last night, you can kind of get over. Because just, all right, well, Cam, you know, it was due. He earned himself a rough outing, and that's exactly what happened. Six earned runs where, listen, really quick on the Jones thing, by the way. I mean, there's been a lot of defensive mishaps that have led to things snowballing for the Yankees. That was unfortunate, and a play like that kind of goes along with like Cody Bellinger dropping a fly ball on left and just the idea of Cam Schuller getting rocked. I know the baseball gods aren't really a thing, but it almost truly feels when you see things like this, like Cam getting rocked, the Yankees, Spencer Jones in center, robbing a home run, but no, it rolls out of his glove and over the wall. Bellinger dropping a fly ball in left field the other day. I mean, it almost feels like there's an external power at B here that is just making sure we are kept humble. And I know that's certainly working on me because, make no mistake, I am completely coming forth here and saying this is messy. This is not good. No matter what it leads to, not getting the one seed or possibly even the American League East, this does have to turn around. But a night like last night, had it just been isolated in itself, you can get over that because it's... Forgive me. Six earned runs for Cam Schuller. He was due for a bad start. Same with, you know, Ben Rice goes into a slump. He's earned himself a bad, a slump. That's baseball. Same with Cody Bellinger. Like, that's how this game goes. But everything going wrong at the right time, no, wrong at the wrong time, I should say, all going wrong at once, makes it to where guys can have a bad outing. Guys can't make mistakes. Guys can't go into a slump. Now, there's no ever reason for defensive sloppiness. And that should be cleaned up come the return of Grisham and McMahon. So soon, I think we'll be all right on that front. Guys got to start hitting. We know that. Pitching-wise, though, I'll tell you, man, listen, not to totally excuse the offense here, which this is not what I'm doing at all, but it is tough. When you're down every single night early, even in the case of Cam last night or seemingly every single day here, the rotation's been struggling over the last 10 or 11 games, it feels like whether it's the first or the second, right away this team is in a hole. And it's hard to win that way. It just flat out is. Now, with that said, I want to play a lot of sound bites today. And we're also actually going to hear from Derek Jeter as well, because I want to throw it back to about nearly 20 years ago and do a comparison on the way he would speak post-game and get into a whole, not necessarily like psychological analysis, but there's a certain way the Yankees operate in their PR media where it's so fake to where it's very frustrating for many reasons. One, just fans don't want to hear it, and I get that. I have very much like developed a mental block towards it to where the post games for me, I watch every single one, but it's very much for updates or like little nuances you might get. Sometimes you get a point, sometimes you get something to actually take something from, but even when you do, it's surrounded by so much fluff because they're so guarded, they're so, I don't know, there's so much fluff around it. With that said, Boone actually showed a rare display of transparency last night where he was asked about being concerned about this offense right now, and he actually said yeah.
I know it's a small sample, but are you at all concerned with what you've seen out of the offense in these past few games?
Yeah.
What concerns you most?
not doing enough. We're not scoring. That's the name of the game. You know, we gotta find a way. Again, confident in the group, even when we're a little depleted, that we have guys capable. But you know, we got to get some guys going. You know, and it's tough when you're playing uphill, like we have been most of the week.
Yeah. So normally, I mean, Boone wouldn't say that. Doesn't mean he wouldn't be concerned, but he would say something along the lines of, "We know the talent we have in this room. And, you know, we're not going to panic." Or even if you were to, it wouldn't feel a genuine quick response like you just had right there, which was, yeah, I'm concerned. Which very much caught me by surprise last night. When I heard that, I rewinded it, recorded it, posted on Yanks Ave. And in a way, it doesn't do anything for me. It reminds me a little bit of when Boone got into Travis Chapman's face last year in Texas, I believe, after the really sloppy base running decision he had. Remember that in the dugout, he was like reeling into him. And it actually, to a degree, bothered me, not because he shouldn't go at his coaches, but it almost felt like he was doing it for public display, doing it for us, which if that's how you want to operate and you want to be transparent with the fans, cool. But that's not what we've seen from this team ever, for the most part. So the way I see it is like, how does that actually impact what's going to happen on the field? And that's my grand point here with a lot of sound bites we're going to play is what's told to us in the post game is going to make Cody Bellinger start hitting. It isn't going to make Will Warren pitch better today. I mean, does anybody truly think Aaron Boone is at fault for Cam Schlitter getting rocked yesterday? No. At least nobody with common sense. So that gets me into this next soundbite, which bothered me a little bit because this is from Bob Clappish, who asked this question. I like Bob Clappish a lot. He wrote the book Inside the Empire. He's done a lot of great work. He's a great writer, great author, big fan of Bob Clappish. But this question bothered me a little bit because how do people not see what I'm kind of trying to articulate here, which is that the post games mean nothing. What is said to us in the post games have no indication on what is said in the clubhouse. Here's Bob Clappish last night, a follow-up to that first question about being concerned and just an overall change in approach that Boone suggested post-game to us publicly about the Yankee offense.
A moment ago, you were just talking about the need to win small in small increments, you know, pitches, innings. Yes. Have you reached the point where you think you need to say that to the team and not just here to us? To verbalize
that?
What
makes you think we're not saying that to the team, Bob?
I know I might be alone in this, but I think that's a very ridiculous question. Now, to some, they may say, that's a great question to ask. But yeah, if you really believe that Boone doesn't talk to the players in the clubhouse or that we have any idea what they're truly like in the clubhouse. Because again, all they've ever done to us is talk to us in a way that is very much fake, fraudulent. Aaron Judge will talk to us literally in a different voice, which I get it. Like, you don't wear pajamas in church. I understand. Like, you button up a little bit. But it's to a point where, past the way Derek Jeter would talk, and to me, it's a thing where if that's how they're going to be, word, I'm used to it by now. Be that way. But now it's almost like that first soundbite, or Chapman last year where he was trying to like show everybody, look, see, like, I will choose somebody out. Or the table slam a few years ago. To a degree, it almost feels a little bit performative. And it does bother me a little bit. Because it's like, if you're going to be that way, word, be that way. But don't do it just for us, because ultimately, that's not going to solve anything. There's no way to appeal to the fan base with post-game pressers. That doesn't need to happen. You don't need to appeal to us with shots on yes of you chewing out the first base coach or you slamming a table or anything along those lines. If it's authentic, word, but more often than not, authenticity is consistency. What is real is often what you see consistently. And what we see consistently is that the Yankees don't tell us nothing. The Yankees don't tell us anything to the likes of what is really going on in that clubhouse. And for all we know, what's going on in the clubhouse, for all we know, is worse than what we see in the post games. But my point here is the post games are almost all fluff. The Yankees are buttoned up. They are PR. They are very corporate. And it comes no more obvious than at a time like this. But last night, clearly Boone maybe went into it saying, like, I'm going to give him a little something. I'm going to be transparent, which, word up. But again, part of the point here is that doesn't help us win today. That doesn't help us get a good start from Will Warren. That's not going to get anybody going offensively. Same with his post games after we're rolling and winning a lot of games isn't what leads to us hitting or crushing the ball like we were for the most part this season, or playing really good fundamental baseball, getting great starting pitching. The post game pressers, everything with this regime of the Yankees, with whether it be Boone, Cashman, Judge is a part of this too, it's all fluff and it all means nothing. So, like, again, a little snippet from Matt last night. It was refreshing in a way to hear, but also it's like, it almost bothers me the idea of, like, Boone or anybody trying to appeal to us, because that's not what will appeal to us ultimately. You may think it does, but Boone's saying that if we go out and lose again today 7-2 or 7-0 and the offense gets four hit, do we think there's any difference made in what he tells us and there's any correlation to the field with what he tells us in the postgame? And that's why that second soundbite bothered me a little bit, because it's like, Bob Clappish, I respect you a great deal, but why would you even consider that to be a possibility, that he tells us something and that's any indication of what is said in the clubhouse or not said? I thought that was very silly. I know many people will disagree with me on that, but it's, which side are you going to go? You're going to be transparent or are you going to be buttoned up in corporate? And ultimately, it doesn't really matter, because the performance on the field is what will dictate our ultimate feelings in the end. So with the Boone soundbite, one may say that was refreshing to hear last night, and I guess it was. But it almost just further drives home the point to me, which is the modern postgame pressers that we get from this Yankees regime mean absolutely nothing, whether it be from Judge, which I wouldn't mind hearing from Judge soon. If this were to continue to snowball, like, Judge is at the home games, Judge is around, I wouldn't mind hearing him get to the podium and just talk a little bit, to be honest. Let's hear from Ben Rice. I didn't love his postgame sound last night, but it all goes to the greater issue here, which may not actually be an issue, but at the very least, it causes a lot of extra issues, which is their opposite intention. Their intention is to keep everything in-house, not tell us anything, not make anything a bigger deal than it has to be, but it almost makes it worse. It makes it louder, because then Yankees Twitter, the fan base, will say there's a culture problem. There's a lack of urgency. In a postgame like we're about to hear from Ben Rice, I bring this up because it leads further to the problem that we're talking about here, which ultimately I don't think actually is a problem, but externally it creates more problems. It creates a louder fan base, a fan base that is already upset, and a fan base that, because of postgame interviews like this, is under the impression, in my opinion, false impression, that, yeah, like, it is what it is and it's no big deal.
Yeah, it hasn't been easy. Definitely right. I mean, we're not exactly doing our best right now, and hopefully we can come out of it soon. I wouldn't say we're scratching our heads. I mean, like you said, we know we have a lot of talent, but it's such a long season, and, you know, a lot of times individually, you know, we go through some the ups and downs. Sometimes the downs last a little longer than we would like, and it just so happens that right now it's kind of like the whole team is, you know, kind of going through something all at once, so... just is what it is.
Anthony was talking about how pressing can happen in a stretch like this. Do you see that at all up and down the lineup?
It's hard for me to recall, you know, if I really have seen that in any instances. I know it can be possible, but it's hard for me to say that I've seen that in any particular situation or a bat.
So Rice is following the Judge ilk. Rice is following the Judge way of speak, which does bother me a little bit, because I watch every single post game and I make sure I watch it in its entirety, in full. You can't go off the Twitter quote graphics. To be honest with you, there's only so much I can post on Yanks Ave Instagram of it. If you see a quote that I post, I encourage you to watch the entire post game interview. Although I feel silly saying that, because there's not much you're going to get from it. But like Rice, for example, I think that's even worse than what we got from Boone, where Boone will actually, there's a worthwhile always to watch the manager postgame preference, because whether it be an update on Jazz, which Jazz was last night, by the way, only available off the bench in an emergency. We'll see if he's available tonight. There are updates to come from the postgames, but in terms of perspective, mindset, very rarely, very, 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 very rarely will we get an actual insight from the postgame pressers into how they are actually feeling. So there's two things here. One, what Rice just said there, on the surface level, To me, it actually sounds a little bit irritating. But ultimately, I know it means nothing. That's not how Ben Rice truly feels. Go listen how Ben Rice talks in the dugout. Go listen how Ben Rice speaks to his teammates, which obviously I understand. Like, if you're around your homies, you talk a certain way. And if you're, you know, talking to your girlfriend's parents, you speak a little bit differently. But it's to a point of absurdity with them that I don't take anything here into account with what Rice just said. But with that being said, I know there are people that do, and I can't blame them for hearing that and being like, oh, they don't care. There's a culture problem. There's this issue going on. There's a lack of urgency. I get why people feel that way. And it's because what they do, their buttoned up PR style of speaking, does the exact opposite of what they want it to do, which is it makes the problem worse. It makes the conversations louder about this regime, the Aaron Boone's Yankees. And ultimately, this goes back to the same thing we always talk about, which is performance on the field. Maybe this is why I'm so one to blame. Like, I blame players more than anybody. Like, I'll disagree with an Aaron Boone lineup almost every single day. And I'll often say, I would have pinch hit this guy there. But I'll deal with every single manager that ever existed. Same I did it with Girardi, too. The way they speak bothers me. It does. Because it makes the problem worse. And ultimately, I know Yankee fans, until they do win a World Series under this regime, or whenever that may be, under this regime or the next, everybody's going to be feeling this way. They're going to be feeling this way because of performance. And I'm not talking about performance in June, because in the end, a week of this is not why we're talking about this right now, per se. A week of bad baseball, that truly will happen. And one thing I really want to squash is, I got a lot of DMs all the time. I'll see in the chat, Dan, you won't see the Dodgers go through something like this. That is just not true. The Dodgers lost 7 straight last year in July. Now, I'm not comparing us to the Dodgers, but in terms of going through a rough stretch, in terms of playing bad baseball, not the defensive mistakes, that stuff I really don't ever want to excuse. But in terms of, like, Cam, a rough day yesterday, Bellinger, Rice, slumping, guys just not performing, that is something very easily, almost maybe sure to a fault, I can get over quite quickly. Defensive mistakes, not so much. But understand, the bad stretch, that stuff will happen. And we got to embrace it. You got to lean in, because it'll feel even better in the end, whenever the end is, in terms of winning a World Series. But I know it won't be until that point that Yankee fans will finally be able to say, all right, it worked out. Because until it does, there is reason to believe, at least I can forgive one for believing that under this regime, it's never going to work out. I don't think that way at all. I made that very clear yesterday. But for one that's a little more casual, only, you know, say they watch a lot of sports or into the World Cup or watching the Knicks a lot, and they're just getting back into Yankee baseball, whatever it may be. Or if you're just a casual Yankee fan that's a little bit above casual or diehard, but not every single game, watching post-game pressers, all this and that, and happens to be tuning into an episode of the Morning Yankee Show, you may be under the impression, and I say this because I can't fully blame you, that the Yankees are lackadaisical, there's no urgency, there's a lack of caring, and that stems from poor play in the field, which a poor play in the field, defensive mistakes aside, I can get over and excuse. These post-game pressers do not help. They just do not. And Judge is a part of it, too. And Rice is following that same trajectory of speak. And I don't want to have to deal with it all the time. Like, it's mad annoying. Like, not that I'm a member of the media or anything, but it does, in a way, make, forget, like, my job being harder, because who gives a damn? And that's truly not what this is about. Although it does frustrate me, because even having to talk about this is irritating. But for them, too. It's like, Boone, if you were to just speak that way from day one about, are you concerned? Yeah, I'm concerned. You might be in a better spot. Or if you were to stick to not telling us anything, at least for me, it's way easier to be like, they just don't tell us anything, which is very much the case. But every now and then, Boone will want to give you like a pound of flesh with a table slam, airing out Chapman last year in the dugout publicly. Which I didn't like, because if you were to do that all the time, all right, that's one thing, but it feels performative a little bit. Like last night, that felt a little bit performative, to be honest, in a weird way, even though it sounded so genuine, the Boone soundbite. I want to play it one more time. Then we're going to play a Derek Jeter soundbite, because then there's more to talk about here. But for those just tuning in live, Boone last night about being concerned.
I know it's a small sample, but are you at all concerned with what you've seen out of the offense in these past few games?
Yeah.
What concerns you most?
not doing enough. We're not scoring. That's
I'm not going to play the whole thing again, but that's a great answer. I wonder why he gave that answer. Is that to appeal to the fans? We don't need that. We need performance on the field. And that's ultimately first and foremost here. But I guess it's kind of like a whole little rant on the Yankees, where they handle themselves PR-wise, all this and that. The play in the field, we know what the issue is. Everything is going wrong at the wrong time. Guys are slumping. Cam, bad start, six runs. That'll happen, but it happened at a bad time. The bullpen has been so good lately, really good. The one time they're not is Fernando Cruz, who's been exceptional. I love you, Fernando Cruz. Sunday against Boston, that was ideal to have your first bad outing in a while. That goes wrong. Again, the defense mistakes, no matter if you're a bad defender on paper or not, metrically, whatever it may be, there's rarely ever an excuse. You guys can make errors, but there's never really an excuse for some of the things that we've been seeing lately. So that is its own little conversation. The defense we know should improve come Grisham and McMahon's return. But yeah, like offensively, what's the story? We're slumping. Guys aren't hitting. Is that going to be the case forever? No, at least not with like Bellinger and Rice are going to be fine, especially come the return of Aaron Judge, which Judge will return in August. We got a slight update yesterday. He's doing lower body activities. No baseball activities just yet. He should be in line to get reimaged probably in a couple weeks. So we're on the same trajectory we've been. Judge will be coming back, and that'll help out a lot. We have the trade deadline coming up, and we're going to talk about the deadline in a little bit about if this changes anything with the urgency they need to have. But we've talked now about the postgame stuff. The on-the-field thing, like what did we see last night to actually break down and talk about? The offense isn't hitting. Correct. The offense is not hitting. The lineup last night was a very weak lineup. Should Anthony Volpe be batting fifth? No, of course not. But given what Aaron Boone had to work with last night, which was you were giving Cody Bellinger the day off, which I am totally behind that. I think many people would agree with. Bellinger needed a day. Jazz wasn't available. Do you want Spencer Jones batting fifth against Tarek Skubal? Maybe you do, but even so, like I can give just as much of a pushback argument as one could give about Volpe batting fifth with Jones batting fifth. Like the lineup, you want Ally Sanchez batting fifth? Like guys being hurt, guys being unavailable, this roster that Boone has, that was the lineup, unfortunately, to roll out last night. And one may say Oswaldo Cabrera, let's be honest, Oswaldo Cabrera has a great smile. He's a good-ass dude. And I'm not going to say what he is doesn't play a role on a team, because culture is a big part of things. And that also plays a role with Ahmed Rosario as well. He's a big part of the culture. But the lineup last night just flat out wasn't good enough, particularly when guys aren't hitting. That's the story last night. Guys just aren't hitting. Long term, am I worried about that? Not Bellinger, not Rice. You get Grisham back, that should help out a lot too offensively. You get a catcher in here. We know that. That's what the plan is going to be. The Yankees are expected. They are expected to add a right-handed hitting catcher. Probably Ryan Jeffers, which would be awesome. You will love Ryan Jeffers. And he should be coming off the IL soon for the Twins. And then we can kind of, we might start scoreboard watching him, as in like watching his live at-bats every time he comes up, see how he's doing post-hamate injury. But he should be coming back soon. And then the deadline is a month from now. But like, offensively, what's there to talk about? Guys aren't hitting. That is a tale as old as time. I've seen that time and time and time again. Under Jeter's Yankees. Now, obviously, when I say Jeter's Yankees, my iteration of that was 2011 to 2014. But when I think of Jeter's Yankees, I think of like 2011 and 2012 was the last tail end of what I got from the 09 core. I've seen the rough stretches. I've seen summer swoons under Girardi. I've seen summer swoons with Jeter at shortstop. I've seen all of that. That's fine. And it comes at a rough time where the pitching all of a sudden isn't performing. Am I worried about Cam Schlittler? You know what? Let's talk about that really quick, because it is something interesting to mention. We can hear from Cam in a moment too. You know, let's actually wrap up the previous topic about the whole PR thing, because I want to move on from that. Here's a soundbite from Derek Jeter in 2007. And I want to just preface this by saying Jeter was very guarded. Jeter wouldn't give you much at all, but there still was a more realistic tone in his voice that felt like it was him speaking. And that's been my one issue with Judge, who I love so much, where Judge will literally talk to us in a different voice. Jeter at least felt like used his voice. While not giving you much at all, it felt real. Here's Derek Jeter after the Yankees' rough loss and just a rough stretch they were going through in 2007.
Yeah, we didn't play good. It didn't look good. But, you know, you come right back tomorrow. I mean, you got to have a short memory. I mean, that's pretty much all you can do. We haven't been playing well for a while, but hopefully you can get that one game where jump starts us, and hopefully that game is tomorrow.
Messina just said that even after the error, he should have gotten right out of the inning. How frustrating to you is it to watch that inning dissolve as it did?
Well, I appreciate him saying that, but, you know, gave him extra outs. I mean, that's the bottom line. You can't do it, especially the way we've been swinging. We haven't been scoring runs. you got to try to stay away from the big innings. And, you know, they scored, what, 5 runs after that? So those things can't happen.
People say, hey, they'll do it like they always do it. But can you assume that's going to happen this year?
Well, that's the plan. I mean, we got a long way to go. You take it one day at a time. Yeah, we've hit a rough stretch, but we had a lot of games left. But we need to play better. I mean, we need to pitch, hit, play better defense. We need to do all those things.
It's actually very similar to the way, at least the words on paper that we're here today. It's a long season, need to play better. Maybe Jeter's also a little bit more likable, whatever it may be. But there, I think it's because he was so much more real despite not giving you much at all. And as similar as Judge and Jeter, their mannerisms can be, I think more so early on in their career, they're very different. And it's not the answers per se that frustrate me so much with the Yankees. It almost does come off at times, and I think this is what frustrates people a lot. It comes off as times like almost I'm smarter than you, like I know more than you, which they do. But it comes from a place almost, whether it's their intention or not, being a little arrogant, like I don't need to explain myself to you, which is fine if you win. But when you're losing, when you go year after year, which who knows what this year will be? We do not know that. We do not know how this year will finish. Trust me. If I did, I wouldn't be doing this show, because what's the point? We don't know how this year is going to end. That's the beauty of this sport. And I still have quite high hopes. Trust me. Trust me, trust me, trust me. Nothing in terms of the ultimate outlook on this team has changed for me. But when you're losing, the I don't have to explain myself to you vibe does not help. It only makes it worse. See, there's crimes being committed over right now. Let's move on to Cam, though, while this nonsense is going on outside. Here's Cam after last night.
Not good. Again, got ahead a lot in the first there. Just didn't execute in 2 strikes. And it's my job to come in here and try and stop that bleeding. And I couldn't get that done. So put the team down 4 in the first. It's not encouraging, especially against a guy like that. So
what do you make of the stretch that you guys are in right now?
Yeah, it's frustrating. Just not playing good ball right now.
Bear with me, chat. I hope everybody's okay. You know, I dreamed of waking up to that sort of sound in the morning. Cam, I want to talk about this really quick. So, I think it is something to monitor a little bit, how teams will adjust to the fastball. Now, yesterday he was going mostly four-seam and cutter, which has worked for him all season long, but also the sinker, I would have liked to seen him throw that a little bit more. And as the game went on, he was throwing the curveball more. I thought the curveball looked good. One thing, early thoughts on here, this isn't definitive whatsoever, and I'm not worried about Cam, but it is something to monitor a little bit, knowing that he is essentially just a one-pitch pitcher with 3 variations of it. How will teams adjust? The Tigers, he faced them last week. No, he didn't actually. I apologize. Cam did not pitch in that series. I take that back. But we've seen Cam pitch against a team, and then the next week also face them, and there really hasn't been much issue. I mean, he faced Boston many times. There was not necessarily, even with the Durbin home run, which he never should have faced Durbin if there was not the Rosario errors in that inning, he's repeatedly done well against Boston. He's never done worse against Toronto, per se. He's had rough outings against Toronto before last night. Like, his worst outings always came against Toronto. But it was never like last night. Last night, he got rocked. He got absolutely rocked last night. And was it a thing where the Tigers made an adjustment? They were sitting on the fastball. He wasn't able to put them away. At the very least, it is something to monitor a little bit that, like, I'll be paying attention to. I wonder if we'll ever see the change that we heard he was toiling with in the offseason. We haven't seen that at all. We've seen the fastball, the four-seam fastball, the cutter, the sinker, and then the curveball, which the curveball I thought was really looking good as last night went on. Maybe we'll see him throw that a little bit more. It does surprise me a little bit that there hasn't really been... Now, I shouldn't say it surprised me because it's worked so far. But it would surprise me if Cam doesn't get back to who he is and one start doesn't change who he is. But say another bad start happens next week. If we don't start to see an incorporation of a circle change, because you think it would play so well. Like, it's almost a no-brainer if there are going to be struggles that are going to come. And last time, he's excused. He earned that. That's fine. Same with everything else. Bellinger and Rice earned a slump. This is all happening at the worst possible time. Fernando Cruz earned a bad outing, too. He's been great. The bullpen earned a bad outing. They've been great overall. It just all comes at the worst possible time. So that's whatever. I'm not talking about this in a way of, oh, Cam's bad now. And if you are doing that, apparently there were some people in the chat last night calling Cam scam. Like, please get lost. I hate that shit. Goes back to last year even where this drove me crazy. Listen, a big reason why we lost last year is because of how bad Luke Weaver was. And the pitching ultimately is what cost us in ALDS. Free gave up 7 runs. Weaver was bad down the stretch and was terrible against Toronto. Was probably tipping pitches, whatever it may be. Something that drove me crazy is all of a sudden everybody was saying, not everybody. A lot of people, though, were saying, F Luke Weaver. And it really just drove me crazy because this is a dude that was celebrated almost more than any Yankee in recent memory, at least to a relative degree. People love Luke Weaver. And the second he performs poorly, it's F Luke Weaver. I'm seeing some things about Cody Bellinger. And this is very much, probably not from the people that watch this show, but people that are, again, the casual fans, which, you know, everybody has their own opinion. They're within that right to share it. But I'm seeing things all of a sudden, which I would not see a week ago, where it's Cody Bellinger robbed the Yankees. I do think that line of speak is pathetic. And now I know most people, honestly, 99% of people aren't giving Cam a hard time for last night. By hard time, I mean calling him Scam, which isn't that great a nickname. I did enjoy some of the, some people were calling Will Warren Will Scorn on Friday. That was funny. But not like, don't do that crap. Cam's our guy. He pitched poorly last night. With that said, it is something to monitor a little bit. How will teams adjust to the fastball and the way he pitches? And if they do adjust, will we see an incorporation of the changeup? Will we see more of the curveball? And the location wasn't great last night anyways, so that's a big reason as to why. But just a bad start for Cam. And it came at a rough time. But in the end, that's not his fault. The 6 runs, yeah, sure, it's his fault. But in terms of the fact of Cam having a bad outing, it happened to be coming at a time where the Yankees are playing so poorly. That's very much just unfortunate. Now, there is a thing where if this were to be a consistent thing, not with Cam, but it's with any ace where you're in a 5-game losing streak looking to snap it, that is the ace's job to set the tone. Cam didn't set the tone last night, but he set the tone many times before. So last night doesn't change anything about the way I feel about him, but from a baseball perspective and on the field perspective, will we start to see a change in arsenal? To a degree, just showing the curveball a little bit more. Maybe not even just showing it, but just flat out using it more. We're not there yet, but last night at the very least makes you think about it a little bit. Just something to keep in mind. Anyways, we'll wrap this up with just this question. Will the skid cause more urgency at the deadline, which of course is August 3rd at 6 p.m.? At first, my response was always like, no, because ultimately, and this is still the case, like it doesn't change what the needs are. Catcher, Yankees are going to get a catcher. That is the full industry expectation. They're going to get a catcher. Relievers, Yankees are going to get relievers. Catcher and bullpen, we know that. Now, going back to a couple weeks ago, starting with when we discussed the possibility of getting Luis Arraez, and then we talked about getting Tarek Skubal. You guys know I want to get Tarek Skubal. By the way, the news ticker was off to begin the show. I apologize. It's fixed now. It should be. Bullpen, catcher, bullpen. And then the third box I always kind of listed as overkill, whichever you want to phrase it. Maybe now it'd be more so, instead of overkill, replace that word with urgency. Something to ensure you have the best possible chance to not let this year go to waste like previous years, to actually get the job done. So there's the necessities. That hasn't changed. Bullpen and catcher. That has to be taken care of. That was a case when things were going well. That was a case entering this offseason. It's been even furthered by the struggles by Austin Wells, of course, that we need a catcher. It's not just a platoon or a backup catcher situation. It's like, no, we need to get another option here to pretty much play every single day. And Ryan Jeffers will solve that issue. But like that's been the case, bullpen and catcher. Does this maybe accentuate the idea of, say the Yankees were on the fence of looking at a potential Luis Arraez trade or Tarek Skubal? This is where maybe if Brian Cashman has a little bit of allowance on himself to get a slight bit of emotion towards this whole thing and say, I want to get this done. I want to win this year. I want to take care of business, and I'm tired of the whole same old thing of fans saying we don't know what they're doing. We don't know what we're doing. Which, again, to be honest, while the doom and gloomers do bother me and the season's over crap, that I will never align with. And like everything I've said, I completely stand by. Like with yesterday, if you think the season is over right now, one, I don't think you do because you're watching this show, so you probably are, even if you don't want to admit it, invested on what the season's going to look like the rest of the year. But no, the season is not done by any means. And the trade deadline is a big part of that. The improvements, the upgrades, the returns of guys that are hurt are all a big part of that. Baseball is a big part of it. It's beautiful. But I can forgive one for thinking, like, the Yanks are just going to go in this year thinking everything's going to go well and they have a chance to win, but how is that actually going to work out come October? Is it going to be the same old story as years past? Maybe, and this is box number three, urgency. After bullpen and after catcher, Brian Cashman wants to, as much as he possibly can, make sure he puts that conversation to bed this year, which would be going out and getting Tarik Skubal, going out and getting something that we don't necessarily need, but it would help. And it would also help just, and again, if you don't win a World Series, it means nothing. But in terms of the vibe, the understanding of how bad the Yankees do or don't want to win, if you go out and get a Tarik Skubal, well, if you don't win in the end come October, like, that ain't going to shut the fans up. In the meantime, though, it would. That would go a long way for, all right, word, the Yanks are going all in. They're not playing around. Has that been, that, like, meter been increased a little bit with this? I don't think it hasn't. Like, I think this week hasn't hurt the chances of them getting school or making, like, one extra trade, which we previously labeled as overkill. Now we'll just label it as urgency. So the boxes, again, to reiterate, are catcher, bullpen, and then urgency. Some extra sort of move. And that extra move could be Skubal, it could be Luis Ariz, it could be somebody else we're totally not thinking of. But, like, I do think that's where this deadline maybe has been changed by this little skid. With that said, we got to start winning, yo, whether it's today. We're getting McMahon back on McMahon and Grisham back on Friday. The main thing, though, is, dude, that four-game set against the Rays next week is going to be huge. Four games at the Trop has to turn around by then. Ideally, it turns around today. We'll see. And this weekend, we're playing the Twins at home. Like, listen, I'm not going to be ridiculous and say, like, oh, give me a sweep, because that feels a little bit like a tall ass against no matter who we play right now. You got to win the series against the Twins. And we'll see if they can not get swept by Detroit today. Will Warren's pitching. Going into today's game is probably, like, the most down I've been entering a game, to be honest. This team also needs an off day so bad. It'll be our first off day in 17 days coming up tomorrow. But, yeah, let's see if they can turn it around today. At the very least, you got to take two out of three against the Twins. And then the big series next week, four-game set against the Rays, is going to be huge. Absolutely huge. But, yeah, that's going to do it for this episode. Programming note, I want to remind you guys, so we're live today for the Game 3 series finale. We'll be live probably close to, like, right around first pitch. Like, first pitch at 1:35. We'll probably be live at 1:30. We'll have a morning Yank show again tomorrow morning, and that will be our last live stream until Monday, July 6th. So, live this afternoon, live Thursday morning, and then I'm headed back down to the shore. Same with the Baseball Today schedule. We won't have an episode on Friday, and we won't be live for the Twin Series. Might just give us a good little break for all of us to reset anyways. Let's see if this weekend goes against the Twins, and then we'll be back on Monday. We'll be live for every single game of the Rays series. I mean, that is going to be imperative to not get swept, not lose 3-4, and maybe even turn this around. I mean, at the very least, they got to split. At the very least, they have to split against Tampa Bay. But we'll preview that more on Monday. Anyways, that's going to do it for this episode, chat. Live this afternoon at 1:30 for Game 3, and then live again tomorrow morning, and then next time I see you after tomorrow morning would be Monday, July 6th. But I'll see you guys later this afternoon. In the meantime, that's all we got for this episode. I will see you guys later this afternoon. Have a great rest of your day. It's going to be a hot one. And in the end, it's baseball season. We'll be all right one day at a time. And if the time comes at the end where we're not all right and we don't win, we'll address it then. In the meantime, ebbs and flows. Right now we're ebbing. I don't know if ebb is like a negative thing, but you know what I'm saying. This is all part of it. We just got to deal with it. No matter what, I'll be there. And I'll be there at the end if we don't win. I'll be there at the end if we do. That's how it goes. Till then, let's go Yanks. Have a great rest of your day. I'll see you guys later. Actually, not just yet. I want to give a huge shout out to my guy Adam, who apparently left a super chat. Tim told me. Hold on here. Let me make sure I get to this. Shout out to intern Tim for letting me know this. But also, Adam, shout out to you. You're freaking awesome, dude. Sends in a $50 super chat. Says, this is always Adam's stick. He goes, Dan, Rice's 15 minutes of fame are over. Spencer Jones has lost in a maze of mediocrity. Jazz is a showboat and should be benched. Jason is 23 and plays like he's 43. Our pitchers will regroup and take us to an American League title. I love you so much, Adam. Thank you so much. You sent a $50 super chat. And for those who don't know, it's more so usually in the watch parties. But Adam always just goes on and says like his piece about certain things. And he's usually just messing around. But his last line is always his legitimate take, and he says, our pitchers will regroup and take us to an American League title. I couldn't agree more, Adam. I could not agree more. Get to the World Series, and we'll figure it out from there. Adam, thanks so much, dude. Appreciate you guys. And, yo, that'll do it. Adam, shout out to you. Shout out to all you guys. Leave a like on the stream, by the way, if you haven't already. It does help out a great deal if you could click like. And, yeah, now we're out of here. I'll see you guys next time. Let's go, Yanks.